Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week? Is it Masters Week this week?
It's a tradition like any other, Jimmy. It is the greatest golf watching week in sports. It's actually the greatest sporting event to watch, in my perspective. From my perspective, is the Masters. It's the best because it's 4 days of golf. I have a ton of travel coming up, so I'm not gonna be able to watch as much as I like, but every second that I have available, I will be watching the Masters on the road.
Okay, before we get into our college football talk, our Penn State spring practice talk, who you got for the Masters win?
John Rahm. Or Ludwig Åberg or Matthew Fitzpatrick. I'm going Euro, because as we learned at the Ryder Cup, Europeans are just better than the Americans right now. So give me a European and give me one of those three. But if you said you could only pick one, I'm giving you Rombo.
Okay, there we go. You heard it here first from Andrew P. Shea. All right, Andy, shifting gears from golf, let's talk about spring practice. We're right in the middle of it. Yep. A lot of excitement going on. A lot of excitement with recruiting. It's finally picking up at Penn State. All of you who were so concerned because we went forever without any commits, that is changing. We're starting to see some of that momentum pay off. But, Andy, let's talk about spring practice. And it's an unusual practice with the new coach in, so many guys coming in through the transfer portal. But it's also spring practice means more to some players than others. Absolutely. I don't mean like to the player itself, it means more, but his potential outcome from the spring, the consequences are more important for certain players, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, it's time to put, so for certain players, there's a time to realize expectations and potential that you flash. For others, it's putting building blocks in place. For others, it's sort of where do you fit on the notch of the rope? You know what I mean? Where are you going to, what part of the conversation are you going to be when it comes to your position? So there's some nuance and some layers and levels to it, but with so much newness, you know, even for guys that, you know, like Zion Tracy, like, you know, Tony Rojas, for example, who's coming back off injury. These are known Penn State players, but now they're not known to this coaching staff. So in some ways, the Iowa State transfer guys that are looked at as top-tier players or contributors right away or ones that are going to play, they don't have a lot of stake in this, right? Because they know exactly what this breakfast, lunch, and dinner is going to look like. And what the expectations are and what the cadence and what the rhythm will be. It's a lot of new for a lot of new guys. So there's a lot of potential and a lot of question marks at the same time. It's a very equal balance of both.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do. And credit to Andrew P. Shea for the idea. And I think it makes it... Andy, I think you're just sucking up to me because it's about doing lists. And you know,
you love lists.
I love lists. We know that. So what we decided to do was each one of us, we're going to identify five players who we think spring practice means the most to. Now, we can go back and forth one at a time, or we could have you do your list first, then me do my list. How do you want to do this, Andy?
So instead of revealing the whole list, let's do them one at a time and see if we have any crossovers. Let's all go right back and forth.
Fair enough. Again, I'm giving you all your choices. You want to go first or you want me to?
Oh, I'm going first. 100%.
Okay. Who do you got as your first pick?
So I'm going to start with running back Quentin Martin Jr., right? I think this is really important because, and here's why. He showed some real chops in the Pinstripe Bowl after, what, like 4 years where numbers 10 and number 13 were the dominant players at that position for Penn State. Having said, running back will not be sorted out this spring. It's a crowded house. That is obviously going to be the case. James Peoples from Ohio State, he's got some game. Carson Hansen, he's known to the coaching staff. He's the Iowa State transfer, the guy who came here with all kinds of production. I think Quentin Martin Jr. is definitely the part of the conversation, and I feel, despite the fact that this spring where there's not going to be any big picture decisions or any big picture sort of answers or sort of, you know, like trends or what might be RB1 or who's going to get the bulk of the carries, none of that's going to be decided on the spring. So you're not going to know anything big picture, but there is an opportunity, I feel, this spring for him to establish himself in sort of that pecking order. Is he one that you have to put on the field and get 6 to 10 carries a game? Is he an RB1? I don't know how this is going to shake out. I have a guess, but I don't know. So in terms of opportunity plus what he's already shown, he stayed here for a reason. And I think he's got some upside. And this is the time where he establishes himself in the pecking order going into camp. So he knows exactly where he stands and exactly what the position might be looking out internally. We're not going to know it externally, but they're going to know a little bit internally. I think this is a really important spring for him. That's why I picked Quentin Martin Jr.
Okay. I like the pick.
Wow.
It's not an overlap. I didn't have Quentin Martin there, nor do cool. I have a running back on my list. But I think it's a fair, here's a couple things. I always talk about running backs are so susceptible, not just to major injuries, Andy. Okay, the knee goes and they're gone for a year. But even, you know, an ankle twist, something bruised up, and you maybe need to sit a game, maybe two. If you're a running back in this group, don't get hurt. Okay, because I think there's somebody else waiting to take your carries from you.
They're the most susceptible. They're hit the most, Jimmy. Everybody hits them, right? Like they're the tackling dummies.
Well, exactly my point, Andy. But yeah. I think you can get Wally pipped if you twist an ankle here, because I think Hansen and Peoples, I think, both feel like they're, you know, 1A, they're at the top of the heap here. And I suspect they will get that first crack at it. But Quentin Martin is poised to take on not just number 3 carries, but move up if something were to occur to the first two. I think what we saw in the Pinstripe Bowl. But I'll also throw in, Andy, Cam Wallace, who has shown us a few things, and I'm going to show a little bit of my own bias. I chatted with him last week at an event. I interviewed him. And, you know, he's not ready to just show up and not get carries. So I think they are 4 deep at running back. I really do. I think the position is very strong. I get why you're saying Quentin Martin, because I think if Hansen and Peoples just take it for granted, they're number 1 and 2.
He'll pass them.
Yeah. Be careful.
Be careful. And just remember, Matt and this offensive coaching staff, they will not be shy about running and rotating 3 backs either, if they're worthy. If 3 backs show themselves as worthy, they're going to split the ball 3 ways and find a way to get them all 3 on the field. So that's why I think it's really important for Quentin as well.
And I think there'll be a minimum of 2 guys carrying the load. So it's not going to be a 1 and then the distant number 2. I think it'll be 1 and 1A, and very, very much a possibility that like a Quentin Martin can get carries as a number three. So that's why I think that's a good call, Andy.
Thank you.
I think you'll look at my first one I'm going to put out there. Similar to your Quentin Martin pick in a lot of ways, skill position, a young returning player. I'm going Kobe Howard. I think at wide receiver, again, several guys coming in from Iowa State. I think there are guys who, you know, are number one and number two from Iowa State coming in that will kind of default to that. But there's at least one more, quote-unquote, starting role, okay, among the receivers. A lot of people have been talking up Kobe Howard. I think we saw a taste of it towards the end of last season. The talk hasn't quieted down with the new coaching staff. I think Kobe Howard is a guy who this spring will really mean something to him.
You don't have to worry about me picking any of the receivers, Jimmy. That is not a crossover. I didn't even look at the position. It's that position in Penn State. And look, I expect it to have some more contribution, but for me, it's just like, ooh, it's like Mufasa in The Lion King. Like, you know, when the hyenas are sitting there and they go, Mufasa, ooh. When you say wide receiver around me, I'm like, ooh, no, I don't want to talk about it. However, it is a very important position. I think you need some more. The telescope needs to become a little bit clearer through the end of the spring and into the fall. But I don't think it's a bad pick at all. And I think he's the only guy that Penn State has that sort of could be that X factor receiver. I think he is. Is he ready for it? Who knows? Development has to catch up to the talent. But once the development catches up to the talent wins. So good pick, Jimmy. You went to wide receiver. I highly respect that.
Well, I know the way you feel about wide receivers at Penn State, yeah. And it's well earned. Andy, over these last several years. I'm hoping, it's a new regime. Everything is new. Iowa State has been good about developing wide receivers overall. So I'm hopeful, but Kobe Howard is that guy, as you put it, could be an X factor. All right, Andy. We each got in one in quarter number one. We'll go for more come quarter two. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Penn State football. We're talking Penn State spring football. And thanks to Andy coming up with the idea, we're each putting out our five guys where the spring practice is most important to them. And it's one of those topics I like, Andy, because each of us could interpret it our own way. I suspect Right. Our listeners are going to hear our list and go, whoa, what are those guys thinking? Why didn't they say blah, 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 this guy, that guy, whoever? And that's okay. That's what we enjoy. It's conversation. So far, Andy, your first pick of year five was Quentin Martin among the running backs. Good pick. Very good pick. I went Kobe Howard among the wide receivers. And Andy, I see like a symmetry between those two guys. You know, they both stuck around their skill positions. They both showed more at the end of the season, gave us some promise there. So I see kind of a similar mindset in those choices. With that said, Andy, it's time to move on. Give me your second pick among your five.
You're going to like this. I kind of combined two people. It's two transfers at the D tackle. Williams, Keanu Williams, and CLA Taupaki? Do we think that's how you say it?
I just say those names really fast, Andy.
Okay.
So people could interpret it the way they want.
So they're different, and it's not going to be different for them, but it's going to be different for Penn State's defense. I mean, they're the two guys that followed Coach Malo, right, when he came and took over as the run game coordinator and D-line coach. They both transferred, both came from UCLA. They followed him. Combined, they're like 630 or 640 pounds, right? That's Jimmy Love stuff. So they're inside beef. Penn State is going to go completely different philosophically on the interior defensive line. And we know Coach Lynn, the DC Lynn, he prefers size in the middle. He wants beef up the middle, and these guys are it. They're potentially the boat anchors, right? And I don't say boat anchor in a bad way, but they're boat anchors to a completely different side of this defense and a completely different look for Penn State. It's a small difference. They're still defensive tackles. They still have to be able to get a push up the middle, be sustainable on first and second downs on the inside run, not get pushed around like tackling dummies in order to open inside zone rushes. Although at 630 pounds, that's tough. But to me, it's just a subtle, small difference in a defensive philosophy. These are the two guys. These are two. There's like three or four guys, but I feel these two guys have the most experience. They have the most game reps. They have the most chops. They know how they're going to be coached and what's going to be asked of them. I think they're the two big guys, and they could set a tone up the middle of this defense for Penn State, which last year, other than the safety position, it was really weak. Penn State was weakness as a defense in 2025 was right up the middle of the field. This could be a first step. It's a very small difference philosophically, going big versus small and a little smaller and athletic, but it really is a big difference for Penn State's defense because they need this bigger size movement that they're going on the interior of their defensive line. They need it to pay off and make this a better defense and a more stout defense up the middle because it was soft and weak a year ago. There's no other way to put it. It was soft and weak up the middle. And until you got to the third level, they need this to be different. So I grabbed those two and put them together. That's my second one, Jimmy.
I'm letting you get away with it because I respect the pick. I think it was a good one. Okay. Number two, on name pronunciation, I told you last week we did a show, got to interview multiple players. We did a live show at in State College. And interview, we'll put out some information on the next one. It was a lot of fun. One of our guests, Andy, was Vaya Aikakola. Okay. And I said the name right because he taught me how to say it, but okay. Even better, he goes by V. Okay. For the rest of the evening. Okay. We'll call you V. I'll be happy. I can't mess that up. So, we're going to struggle over some of those names all year. Hopefully we'll find out that they go by a shortened name. Good call, Andy. And what I will say also is I'm going to later on, I didn't quite do like you did the twofer deal, but I name a name and then say, well, honorable mention though to somebody else.
Yeah, these aren't honorable mentions. These are two on the list. They're together, though.
I'm allowing it. Second on my list, Andy, and it's Malachi Goodman. Okay? He's a second-year offensive lineman, a tackle. He could potentially be the starting left tackle. I think we pretty much know where the other four slots on the offensive line are going to go to. Now, my little however is, if not him, somebody's got to step up at left tackle. One of the young players, someone's got to step up. I just think he's the guy. He's got a five-star pedigree. He's the one that I think has the most potential to step up. He may not be ready yet, Andy. We don't know. But I do believe that there is a potential here for him to be that starting left tackle.
And you think he's got to be left tackle? I think Anthony Dunk is going to be the left tackle. He would be in the running at right tackle, I think.
Well, that's an interesting discussion. I think Donka has more experience on the right side. I think I think Cooper Cousins at right guard is kind of like they played it before. I almost feel like there'll be those two guys could anchor my right side.
Interesting. I don't disagree with you. It's fascinating, right? Like, we don't even know which tackle is going to be which tackle.
We don't. They can make that change, but I think Goodman is the offensive lineman where there's the biggest variable. It could be a case, Andy, where he's still just plain not ready to get on the field yet, or he could be a starting tackle. We could have either result, all the way this way, all the way that way. But for him, that starts this spring in front of this new coaching staff. All right, Andy, who do you got as your third player?
I'm going to stick on defense. I'm going with Max Granville at the end. And this is a position where the first time in a long time, Penn State is looking for a few good men, right? He was part of the mix in 2024 when you had Abdul Carter and Danai Dennis-Sutton running the show and wreaking havoc, right? Go back to 2024. Those two guys were like monsters of the midway. But yet, Max still stood out and flashed, right, as a New Jack player. Despite those two being around him, they still had to get him on the field and give him some snaps. That was a huge ascension. He was on a huge, nice, high, learning curve. He was going to be an impact player last year. Offseason, loses his season to a major injury. So what you got to see were so many tools in a limited window where you could see next level potential just in that limited capacity. So that has been derailed by injury. It's a tricky proposition to get back from injury when you still aren't talent fully realized. Like, you showed some of it and you showed next level potential, but injury derails you and brings that to a screeching halt and actually takes you a step or two back. So in a year, will this be a position of great need for Penn State for success on its defense? It will be predicated a little bit on what they find off the edge and what they're able to do off the edge. I just think this spring he's back. He's 10 pounds heavier than when he last.
We lost Andy there for a second, but he's back. You were talking about Max Granville. You talked about how he put on a little bit late weight going into this season, Andy.
Right. And I just think for him that coming off of an injury, that's part of it. But he was his growth as a player was stunted, right? And then it was hampered by an injury. You got a little taste of it. You saw the next level potential in the tools, put some building blocks back in place this spring. The heavier 10 pounds means you're ready. Start getting back to feeling like you can start adding some tools of the trade that are next level to your game. Look, Penn State's going to need guys like him. They're going to need him at this position. He's a guy that has a lot of upside, a very limited sort of, body of work to go from. But from that limited body of work, you saw some next level potential. Can he start to realize some of the next level potential? into camp and to carry a little bit of it in season. I don't mean to come out and say he's going to be a 12 sack guy. No, that's stupid. I'm just saying, can he be one of the guys that provides a little bit of an answer for Penn State in that position? That's why this spring is important.
Okay, let me, so I could get my guy in here too. My answer is ditto.
Oh, you had him.
And I had him exactly my third guy I was going to bring up. The only thing I'll add to it, Andy, to what you put out there is here's where I have my honorable mention. We need to see somebody really step up at that position, okay? Max Granville, I think after his year off, out with injury, it may mean just a tad more to him because of that. But we need someone to step up. Maybe it's Yvonne Camaju. Maybe it's LeVar Arrington moving from linebacker to defensive end. Maybe it's Alexander McPherson, who's coming in to transfer from Colorado, who a lot of people are talking very highly about. It could be any one of those guys. Granville is, though, the name that I think makes a lot of sense, Andy, especially because of all his circumstances that you pointed out. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Coming up, your questions and we ask Andy right after this.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three of our show. That means it's time for your questions. And we ask Andy, you want to send in a question? From our app, you see the Ask Andy button. Or you could send me an email at info@ksnsports.net. That's info@ksnsports.net. Let's start with Scott from Lebanon, who says, Andy, where does Drew Aller go in the draft, and where do you think he should go? I think he means in terms of what round. And what team do you think would be a good fit for him?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't think he's I wouldn't draft him. I don't think he's draftable. I think he's an undrafted free agent. I think one of the best teams for him, there's a couple places I can think of. I think Indianapolis would be a really good place for him. I think the LA Rams with Sean McVay would be a really good place for him. I don't think the Minnesota Vikings would be a bad spot for him either. Those are three off the top of my head that would be good fits for him in terms of very low expectations, a little bit of help. But, I mean, you know, there's in terms of drafting, there's still just, even his combine performance, still a little bit too much. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. And, you know, okay, he finished strong in his throwing part, but, man, the first 5 or 10 minutes were just awful. Missing receiver. And can't do that at that level. So I don't think he's draftable. I wouldn't draft him, but he's probably going to get drafted. I think he's an undrafted free agent candidate.
I disagree. I think I don't think there's a lot of very good quarterbacks coming out this year, Andy.
Bad and class, agreed.
I think somebody will be sold on him. Again, it's the old big arm strength, the NFL body. There's going to be somebody out there who thinks he was let down by his wide receivers in college, that he will be a good NFL quarterback. As far as where he goes, the one name that you mentioned, the Rams, I think with Matthew Stafford already there.
And like, close to retirement.
Yeah, right. Zero pressure for him to see the field. Okay? Let him learn. Let him take that time. I think that would be helpful for him. I think the Rams or somewhat another team with that kind of setup, veteran quarterback there, good coach, good team around them potentially. I'm going with the Rams there. All right. Let's go with Eddie from Vineland, New Jersey. His question is for me. He says, Jim, are you still peeved that there is not going to be a blue-white game, but just a practice?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Did I answer your question? Sorry.
Yeah. Let me answer, okay, Andy? I will answer. Just hold on. I will answer. The answer is yes, I am. However, if there was ever a year not to have the scrimmage, this is it. There are so many players that they have. With both Rocco Beck and Mansky, Beck's he's practicing, he's throwing the ball, he's not full contact. Mansky isn't even in Pennsylvania right now. He's rehabbing back in Iowa. Yeah, you see that they're down to like their fourth tight end, just about every position, Andy.
Like
they're just and I don't want to use the word decimated by injury because that gives the impression that it's really a factor. And I think most of these players are going to be ready come fall. I think probably there's plenty of them who would be ready to play right now if they had to, but they don't have to. And they're going slow and correct as opposed to rushing and making a mistake. However, it doesn't change my theory that they really should have a true scrimmage and that there's truly value to that, to put the players in Beaver Stadium in front of a crowd, light up the scoreboard, and give the players that kind of experience. So that's the way that is. All right. Let's go to Chris from New York. See, I'm not even going to let you respond to Eddie's question, Andy.
Is this question for me? Is this question for me, Jimmy?
This one's for you.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to check. All right.
We now move on to the Andy phase of Ask Andy. All right?
There we go. Busting your chops.
When did it become Ask Jim, right? I think Eddie was just playing up to me. I think Eddie just realizes if you put my name on it, I'm going to use your question. So
you put Jimmy's name on it, you're getting your question asked. 80-20 rule. 80% of the time you're getting it asked.
Now see, there's where you're wrong, Andy. It's closer to 100% you'll get asked. All right.
I was just being nice. All right. Chris in New York.
Chris in New York says, love all the things we're hearing about Matt Campbell, including culture. And I can't imagine his in-game coaching could be any worse than what we saw from Big Game James. Chris isn't holding back here, Andy. But
not a fan.
But giving the devil his due, Franklin could recruit. I'm still nervous that whether Campbell can compete for the very top guys. Andy, what do you think?
I think he can compete for the top guys, but I don't think he's going to rush himself to prove anything to anybody. I think he's not looking for star power. He's looking for star potential. So star power, and by that I mean, he's not just going to take 4 and 5 stars and then be not the right guys because they're 4 and 5 stars, and that makes his recruiting look good. I think he'll take 3 and 4 stars that he sees have that right potential. Eventually, he has to flip the script a little bit. Eventually. But I will argue and say what I did last week. 2027 class is not it. that needs to start in the 2020. Right now, really, he only has a potential and sort of a blueprint and a mirage of a little bit of a game plan that he is selling with him and his whole program philosophy. We don't have any body of evidence for it at Penn State. He needs to build body of work before he can start going out and firing bullets at the big game. So I just think you need a season. You need a full season to be able to evaluate it. Where I think he'll excel at it, the secondary, I don't know if it's secondary anymore, he will still be a viable transfer portal guy. Program. I think he's going to open up the floodgates at Penn State in terms of the transfer portal, because he might have to a little, and he's still got to put more on the recruiting plate table on the plate for Penn State with him as the head coach at Penn State. There's not enough body of work for him to go out and fire his gun big time right now. If he does, that's a mistake in my opinion. So I think he's got to have a little bit of time. That's all.
I think, Andy, there'll be a difference in how he recruits. I think he'll follow what you have always talked about, getting the right player above maybe the best player, okay? Right. And I think that's important. Guys who have high upside, guys who are coachable, guys that he could get there. And I think he won't shy away from recruiting 4- and 5-star guys. I think we're starting to see that happen. He's getting high-end visits. He's starting to get 4-star recruit commits. But I think we're, and I'm interpreting the question a little bit here my way, which is when you start to get like a Drew Aller, who was a 5-star quarterback, and Nick Singleton, who was that real high-end running back, and Abdul Carter, guys who are 4- and 5-star potential stars who could carry a team. Can he recruit in that neighborhood? Because he never did nor had to at Iowa State. Okay. So now, if you're going to talk about winning national championships, I think you need some of those guys. All right. Still hanging on that recruiting question. Let me get to Walt in Columbia so we could get this one in there, Andy. Walt says, recruiting has now become a money game, and it's not Absolutely. A level playing field among teams. Where does Penn State sit when it comes to financial resources for this?
Top 10. They're one of the top 10 football resourced availability in this new era, whether it's transfer portal, roster retention, NIL and recruiting. They are one of the top 10 resource schools in the country. There's no doubt about it. They moved themselves. They were chasing the tail of a dog for a little bit, and then they flipped the script. And now the script has been flipped. There's no reason for them not to stay there. They have the pieces and tools in place. They built the infrastructure for it. It's working. It's successful, and it ain't going nowhere. So I put them in the top 10, Jimmy, in the country.
I think maybe towards the back end of the top 10. But still,
correct.
Top
I'm not
10.
Saying third or second. No, I
get it, and I don't think you'll see them doing the things that you saw Texas Tech do. I think they, probably less than Ohio State. And again, I'm matching up with what you said, Andy. Top 10. What I'm going to be curious about, and this is something all the schools, and it kind of relates to the last question. How will you invest those dollars? How will you distribute those dollars? It's a case where, and I keep using running back as it's a glamour position, but like you saw in the NFL, it's not the highest paid position because there's depth at running back. You could get a lot of running backs who could do the job for you, but quarterback, edge rushers, defensive tackles, There's limited amount of those. So it's going to be, how do you distribute the money? All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number three. We have one more segment to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. We are going to get back to our five players where spring practice means the most to these players. We each got five players to put out there. We got through three from each of us. For you, Andy, it was Quentin Martin, the running back. It was the pair of defensive tackles and Max Granville, the defensive end. For me, it was Kobe Howard, Malachi Goodman, and also Max Granville. So, Andy, we are thinking alike at least a little bit. Now we each have two more names to go. I'm telling you ahead of time, I don't think you're going to agree with my last two names, but that's okay. You go next.
Cooper Cousins. This spring is important. Offensive lineman. You've heard about him, right? You've heard about him kind of his entire time at Penn State. There's been buzz around him. But he's never been a first-line guy, right? Until now. Now he's going to be an OL1, right? Like, he's going to be a starter. He's always been a rotational guy in a very deep and talented, established offensive line. That's a little concerning considering all the buzz that you heard around him. But he has NFL-level skills, right? He's already created noise because of what he has done performance-wise a little bit, mostly in practice. It's time for him to start putting the proof on film. To me, I think he's an anchor and a leader of this offensive line. I think he has that kind of potential. It's time for us to see that. And in the spring, when you've got so much new on the offensive line, you're kind of looking for the ringleader, the cheerleader, the voice of the line, right? Like, who's our guy? Who's our spokesperson? Who's our example by production person? Who's our getting a little nasty in the trenches when it gets a little dirty and ugly down there? Who's that guy? That's what I think Cooper is. I think you learn and establish yourself as that player if you're moving into sort of from being a very good sort of sixth offensive lineman and can do whatever you're asked, can do it pretty darn well, I might add, to being an every snap guy. And this offensive line is looking for a leader. It just smells and tastes like he's that guy. And you put those sort of roots down now. That's why I think this spring is important for him. It's make sure you now recognize and know and understand that you are an OL1 guy. And that's what I think why this is important for him. And I think he could be the anchor of this offensive line.
You know, Andy, I had contemplated Cooper Cousins for my list.
Interesting. Okay,
so I have zero problem with it. I ended up going, as you know, with Malachi Goodman because I thought that there was a bigger variable with him of here's the result. It could be, as I said, he's just plain not ready yet and may not see the field all the way up to he could be your starting left tackle. Okay.
Fair
Cooper
point.
Cousins, I appreciate the high upside that he has. We've been expecting it. But
he hasn't been on the field though. Like, why is that?
Right. So I think it's just, I think what we're going to get is he's going to be a starter. He's going to be out there. I think he's got a pretty high floor, but I don't know what his ceiling is yet.
Good point. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So I think that's the difference there. I think there's also, I think, positional value at tackle versus guard. And I think if a guard doesn't come through, I think that's an easier position to fill. Tackle, though, it's huge if you could fill that left tackle spot. So that's why I went with Goodman instead of Cousins. But I still get it, Andy. It's still a very good call on your part. Okay, now, here's my next guy. And I'll be interested to hear your reaction to it. But my first three guys were Penn State guys returning. Coby Howard, Goodman, Granville. And I think part of that was in the back of my head, there was still, you're now performing in front of a new coaching staff.
Right.
You haven't proven yourself either just on your own, but now you got to do it in front of a new coaching staff, okay? That puts an extra layer on it. I'm going with an Iowa State transfer now, and he does not fit the mold of any of these first seven guys, that names that we put out there, Andy. And I'm going with Marcus Neal, okay? The safety. Hear me out.
No, I think he's the best transfer that they got from Iowa State. I say that over the quarterback. I think he's the best baller they got from Iowa State.
And you know what? I get that. I agree. And I think he's got to show that. There's got to be that guy who, in this spring practice, I think he needs to show not just his fellow Iowa State guys who came over, but the Penn State guys. He's not just... Yeah, new coaches back there.
New coaches! New safety coach, new DC, new philosophies.
But yes, but I think he also needs to be, you know, that dog, that top dog on defense. I think he needs to be kind of the guy on defense, and he needs to show that. He can't just step on the field and be good. He needs to step on the field and show he's the guy. He's the man there. And you know, I think what he showed at Iowa State, he's got it in him. You know, just some of these numbers from last year, Andy, from the safety position, 77 tackles, including 40 solo, 11 tackles for loss, 3 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, a forced fumble. Those are the kind of numbers of a guy who's a leader on the team. So that's why I think it's important. I think it's important for him to be that guy.
DC Lynn likes to have his quarterback on defense be a backline guy. So I don't know. I was going to bring it up earlier, but is the Green Dot going to be a safety at Penn State this year? That's how committed Coach Lynn is. And I mean, he's got a couple solid guys at linebacker, right? And is Zion Tracy that guy? Zion Tracy, we know already, 100% is a Big Ten conference, which is one of the two best conferences. He's a dog. We already know that. Zion Tracy is 100% next level Big Ten dog. We don't know that about Neal. Is Neal capable of being that, hey, maybe you have to consider Coach Lynn putting the Green Dot on my helmet and letting me call the defense from the back? So, but the in-game plays are going to be called by the safeties. Neal could be that guy.
Right. And that's you mentioned Zion Tracy. I think Marcus Neal has more to show than Zion Tracy does at this point. All right, Andy, let's get
last
to it.
One.
Your last pick and then my last pick. Go ahead.
Cornerback, Darius Dixon. Do we go the same guy?
No, I'll explain my reaction when you're done. Barry Stixon.
Yeah. Go ahead. So this was a guy, he's a second year player, right? So he's going to be a true sophomore. He found his way into the mix after the regime change. Shocking. By the way, Terry Smith is still his position coach. Same guy who was his position coach last year. But in a less than full-time role, man, he laid some stuff down. He could be the cornerback one. He could be their stay away from this corner. Can he go from a guy that was sort of put in the mix and had kind of maybe been kept on the sidelines longer than he should have, and then after the regime change, but in a limited role? It was not a full-time. It was a less than full-time role. It was a limited role. He still had a couple tackles for loss, a sack, a couple forced fumbles, 6 passes defended. That's dog stuff on the corner. That means you're having great success. And this is in a limited role. I think it's time for him to put the building blocks of being a cornerback one and elite corner potentially in place. He's got a high ceiling. It's a really high ceiling, and I love his ceiling. It's just time for him to make sure you're able and ready to go come September so that your high ceiling is recognizable. It's time to put that in place now because he's going to be a full-time corner.
Another good call. I think you're right. Me personally, I think he's there. I think he's
he's a dog.
But yes, I think he's no doubt. Again, another guy. His floor is very high. Question Woo! Is just how high is his ceiling?
Really high.
I reacted to you when you said cornerback. I misheard you. I thought you said quarterback.
Oh, because no, I'm not touching the quarterbacks.
I am.
No, yeah, this wrong.
I have, hear me out. I have quarterback Rocco Beck, and it has nothing to do with his ability to throw or his talent. It has to be a quarterback. This is the guy who's the team leader. They'll follow his attitude. And you know, I like Drew Aller, but I don't think he was that guy that you go to war with. When things went wrong last season, I don't think his style was the one that could rally the troops and not allow them to fall to the depths that they did. I just don't think that was his nature. May not be fair of me to say that. But I think Rocco Beck might be that kind of guy. And Rocco Beck may never throw a pass ever in the NFL. But can he be that leader? And if you look back at some of the Penn State quarterbacks, like a Trace McSorley, a Michael Robinson, Matt McCoy, you know, there was something there that were the leader. They were the guy you follow. Can Rocco Beck be that guy? He needs to start showing it in the spring, Andy. I gave you 10 seconds to respond.
Yeah, he's exactly who you think he is and nothing more.
But I think he needs to become that leader. All right, Andy, we got our listen just in the nick of time. Make sure y'all join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first-of-its-kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.